So this is a new podcast we've been thinking about doing for quite some time. Myself, working sports and media, recently covered the Women's Football Weekly show on TalkSport 2, a nice little maternity cover. And Risha, my sister, a WSL player.
Kick a ball about
for fun. Join me in one of those shows. And we had quite a nice time, didn't we?
We did. We have had a good laugh, had a good chat.
Is that your radio voice? Very... Stop, make it stop.
Is that bad? Can I just talk like me then?
Talk like normal. Right, talk
brilliant.
Normal.
Okay. Here we are.
Every Friday night, every Monday, we talk ahead to the weekend's games. And then on the Monday in the house, we react to what happened at the weekend. And I feel it's a good opportunity, especially now, whilst we're all still living together, you, myself and Katie, that it's probably quite a nice thing to let the Women's Super League fans in on the conversations that you have. And we're not hearing, I don't think we're hearing enough Women's Super League players, current players, giving their opinion on the current league at the minute. Do you agree on that?
After you've said all that, I just thought, what a sad house we have. That's all we are chatting about.
It is
what's kind of going on a lot, isn't it?
But it's life, I suppose. Mm. Let's just start this week with what happened on the weekend. It was a tasty little game on Saturday. I went along with the kids to see Arsenal host Manchester United. Manchester United, by the way, playing very, very well at the moment, going for Champions League football. And it ended 1-1 for Arsenal, thanks to a nice wee cheeky goal from Stina in the kind of final 10 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
How should that have gone for you?
Before the game, I did think it was going to be a difficult game for Arsenal, just because United are good. I like them. I like them when they played. I like how Casey had them. And then obviously Mark Skinner's took over. He's got them playing some nice football. They have a few really good players. But Arsenal, I'm sure they thought they could have got the job done.
Yeah.
But they'll be definitely buzzing that they took a point out of it, because I think United, watching highlights back, they probably could have got a couple of goals.
They were good. They were very good to watch. I have to say, the referee had on a Manchester United shirt at one point in the first half. It was
the ref part of the red wave.
It felt like that for a while. And it felt like Arsenal were being unfairly punished at certain points of the game. Is it a case of that Manchester United are playing very well and are catching up, or Arsenal are going through a little bit of a dip?
I think, you're probably right. I do think United are... Their season didn't go as smooth as they'd hoped. They had a wee dip in season. But, you know, that probably happens with a new manager coming in, getting used to his way, his style. So it takes a bit of time. Fair. But now it's starting to click for them. And they seem to be strengthening. And I like how they play. I like how they move the ball. No, so United are getting better. They definitely are. But Arsenal are still probably... They've got a fair bit of catching up to be on Arsenal's level. Look, Arsenal have had a wee dip in form right now. That's fine. Everyone knows it. But you don't turn to a bad team overnight. You don't become a bad team. I think Arsenal just need to keep going. This point will probably help them. Massive game next week against Chelsea. On Friday, actually. It's really soon. It's this week, Kiss.
This Friday?
This Friday night. I'm actually buzzing to sit down and watch that. That's pure sad. But I've become a women's football fan.
That's good!
No, it is good, but it's creepy, but it's good.
Uh-huh. Why is it creepy?
It just is a bit.
You're perving your own bird.
Sad my bird's not playing, but...
you'll be sitting with her, crying into a glass of wine,
holding her hand. It's okay.
Katie McCabe came home on Saturday from the game after getting her sending off, and literally the waterworks came on, didn't it? She couldn't turn them off. She was very, very sad. And that's it hurts when you get sent off, and she sees this Chelsea fixture as the most important game of the season, doesn't she? And she's not going to be part of that. And she's gutted that she's let her team down, she's let herself down.
Let me down, you know?
She's let you down. She's kind of let me down. She's let her agent down. Mm-hmm. She's let her family down.
Yeah, she has.
She's let the cats down.
That is it.
God bless the cats.
My kitten's in there fuming.
And, it sucks when that happens, but that's football. And she has to learn from that experience and move on. I'm not going to say that to her face, because she'll probably batter me.
I should probably well swing for you.
Katie, any chance you could come in at the garage and do this podcast with us, talk about the game from the weekend?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay, she said no.
No, she knows, I think. I think for Katie there, I actually said, people might say I'm being biased here, I thought the first one was harsh. The first yellow was harsh, because she goes up for the header, she comes through the girl, but the way the ball comes, it's the only way she can jump for it. Yeah, she bumps into year one, but it wasn't dirty, it wasn't bad. It was like a like a fair challenge where there was no elbows flying. So I thought that was quite soft, but she's probably got this reputation right now from refs. So, and then the second one, she holds her hand up, she got her touch, went too far away for her, and that girl's just came in and stole it. So I think she takes that one, but I don't think there was any intent in the challenge. It wasn't malicious, wasn't dirty.
She did actually say, she learned a lesson. I would have accepted it more had I meant it, but I didn't mean it. And, you know, it was one of those things, I think, it really saddened her now that she's not in this fixture. How are they focusing going into this fixture at the weekend? Because it is a bit of a league decider.
Yeah, I think it's more, it's a very mental test for them too, shall I say. Look, last season too, like there was that talk on last season stuff about Arsenal's record against the top three. Like it's probably not as where it should be. But then you're looking at the start of the season and when Arsenal beat Chelsea at the Emirates, you're going, oh wow, look, is this it? Are they going to start turning things around? Anyway, they've hit their dip, but Chelsea too. Chelsea have been dropping points.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for a thriller, but it could be an absolute boring tactical wee game of chess. It's going to be a pure nothing each all over it, but I don't know who'll be happy with that. I think Chelsea would be happier with that. Arsenal, kind of, you're thinking they have to go and they've got to win. They've got to take all 3 points. Obviously, their squad probably isn't where they'd like it to be right now, but they've got new signings in. They're all fit. Will they play now? It'll be interesting to see.
What's your thoughts on the new signings coming in from overseas? The Brazilian Rafaela Souza. She looks like a unit. A good left-footed centre-back. Like, she looks strong.
Yeah, she looks really technical, very composed. She's kind of probably similar traits to Leah Williamson in terms of how calm she is on the ball, how they want to distribute out from the back. And she looks like she can defend too. So it'll be interesting to see. It's quite exciting, I think, for Arsenal to have that left-footed centre-half to, you know, play out the left. They're probably missing that a bit of time, so they probably favour going down the right-hand side. So I think that's going to be good for them.
Yeah, and also Stina Blackstenius getting herself onto the score sheet as well at the weekend, getting that cheeky goal. And it was her birthday as well. Did you ever score a goal on your birthday?
I've not scored a goal, Cass, so... But Stina, that was actually nice. It was a birthday and then she got the goal, but man, at the end of the day, I'd be pure fuming. There was no need of Viv to play that kind of ball and steal all the thunder. Do you know what I mean? You get your first goal for Arsenal on your birthday, such a big game, but Viv plays that ball and just steals the show.
Actually, social media was fully reacting to the ball that Viv, you know, put on a plate for Stina. It was terrific. Actually, in that game as well, Viv did actually hit a decent shot. It would have been a cracker of a goal.
That was a good save from Mary Epps, wasn't it?
Good save from the goalie. Kind of smacked the woodwork as well. But again, another one of those games where you're like, Arsenal, come on. So we'll see what happens for Chelsea. Thoughts on Chelsea this season as well? Like you said, they've had a little dip in that Christmas period as well. Like Arsenal, they've had a lot of football this season so far. Erin Cuthbert, you had mentioned when we covered a show together not too long ago that she's the player that makes Chelsea tick for you.
Mm-hmm.
How important has she been this season?
Yeah, I think she's, like I've said before, she's quality. She's such a good player. Obviously, they've got the big guns. They've got the Fran Kirby's. You've got the Pernilla Harders, Sam Kerr's. But Erin kind of does a lot of the dirty work. She gets stuck in. She does that side of the game too, but she's a football head. She's got a football brain. So she slots in so nice to that team. And I think she's kind of an unsung hero in that Chelsea team. But I think there's so much more to come from her, and it'll be nice to see how she gets on over the next few seasons.
You knew her from when you were younger in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Where did you play together?
Used to go out. Kid, no.
I never met that one.
yeah, that was it. God, we were at Glasgow City back in the day. I don't even know when that was. A good few years back. Erin was just a young one then coming through. But I think Emma sees her and trusts her, and she knows how valuable she is. So credit to Erin for, you know, plodding away and getting herself in that team.
Mm.
I'd like to actually see Erin play more central, because I've seen her there before and she's dangerous. Like, she's, as I said, she's a football head, so she can just give and go. She can take people on, but she's playing more on the right now for them. So, but she can do that role too. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see that she's versatile.
Okay, so it's Chelsea Arsenal this Friday night at King's Meadow. We'll be reacting to that next week on the podcast as well. Kate McCabe will not be there. In fact, shall we go and see if she wants to have a little chat with us just now?
Hey, good luck.
So let's move on to your fixture at the weekend as well. It was Aston Villa against West Ham. It was up in Birmingham. Actually, to be fair to Aston Villa, it was almost unlucky because there were several chances created from Aston Villa, but it ended 2-1 West Ham. West Ham, by the way, are collecting points here, there and everywhere at the moment.
I like how West Ham are set up. They press very aggressive when they go to press teams. They're quite good at it. The girl that plays on the left, Switkova.
Yeah.
She's very good with press. She's very aggressive. She reads the game quite well, so she's quite a threat. But we knew that going into the game. I like how Ollie Harder has them. He plays them a certain way. He plays his strengths, which is good. And there's a few very experienced players on that team. But we played well. We were frustrated because the two goals were our own fault. You know, it's not as though they'd really carved us open and, you know, punished us. It actually came from our own mistakes. So that was frustrating for all of us as a team. But we went through a bit of analysis today and, you know, it wasn't all doom and gloom. There was a lot of positives to take. Obviously, right after the game, you're just thinking more about the scoreline and that. So, you know, after seeing analysis, we've done okay. We've got a few more things we need to work on, but it's starting to click. I think it is starting to click for us, you know.
I felt at the beginning of the season, it instantly kind of clicked. Again, it was getting like, you know, scrappy goals at the end of the games, mm-hmm. you know, stealing the points back. And then it's dipped for a wee mm-hmm. while. But in this window as well, it's been brilliant to see Anna Patton getting that move from Arsenal, bringing in the likes of Jill Scott. I mean, she's such a legend. Mm-hmm. Are you fangirling over her or what? Or?
Yeah, she's sound. That's it. Yeah, I've kind of kept that sit close to my chest. I don't want to be too keen right now in case she slaps me.
But what would you like to say?
I love you.
I like you.
Yeah, but no, she's quality, so it's good having her in the middle because she's always an option, always wants a ball, and Jesus, she knows the game, do you know what I mean? So she'd learn a lot from her.
Mm-hmm. And what about, as well, the return of Rachel Corsi? Of course, she was under Carla Ward at Birmingham.
Yeah, she's back. She just needs to get back fit. Obviously, that's it. She was in her off season technically from playing in the US, so I don't know how long it'll take her to get up to fitness. A couple of weeks maybe, and I'm sure she'll start to feature a lot more. But yeah, another big experienced player to bring in. So,
and a player that you've played with for quite some time as well.
Of course, she used to stay at mine some night, and because she lived in Aberdeen, and then she'd stay, and we'd go to Glasgow City training.
I always remember Corsi mm-hmm. being at the house.
Yeah.
But I remember you two going out more. Like you two would go out together then. So I'm sure there's some stories
for another kick the ball a bit.
You two were always at the park, just practicing.
Keep ups and all that.
If the park was the polo club or the tank, guys, that's for you to wear. Aston Villa, what would be the dream finish for Villa this season?
In my head, I would like it to be, I'm going to say about 6 in the table. I think that's realistic. I mean, this league is weird. Like 2 or 3 wins can totally change the table. So, and we're yarding the table. So I think, you know, I think we've got to aim to get at least another 6, maybe 9 points on the board.
Alicia Lehman, mm-hmm. my absolute gal dem, playing on the right. 2 goals in 2 games now.
Yeah, she had a penalty. And can't remember the other goal.
Yeah,
Leicester. Yeah. Leicester, last minute, yeah. Mm-hmm. We know what kind of player Alicia is. She likes to get at people. She's got lightning quick pace. She's so powerful. And she can turn people inside out when she wants to and on her day. And she's starting to add the goals to the game. She's getting in the right area and she's starting to, you know, score her goals. So let's hope it continues. I'm sure it will. But she's very confident right now, so it's good for the team.
Does she ever ask about me?
No, she doesn't. No, you're a goner.
Right.
Your bars.
Well, that's good to know. Okay, let's move on then to Leicester Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Leicester taking the win from the weekend. That's a derby in itself, that game. Fighting for points, fighting to stay in. Now, we spoke about this as well not too long ago. You played for Birmingham and you played for Leicester. You've been to more clubs than Tiesto, actually.
You've been waiting for that one for ages. I've been more clubs than Tiger.
There you go. I preferred my Tiesto one, but okay. Leicester, let's say they're investing. They're keen to stay in the WSL. They're not. It's a challenge moving up a league. We all know that. I want to just, because you obviously know a lot of the girls at Birmingham as well, who you've known for years. You know, Christy Murray, for example, since you were what, two. You two have known each other. Louise Quinn even playing at Ireland as well. There's a few more. And then what happened with Leicester, as in coming up a league and then being able to pump in the money. Who do you want to see survive?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. Leicester, I think there is a good group of girls there. There's a lot of talent there. And obviously now they've got sort of a new technical team and new staff. And I think they've got a vision. And it's, you know, it seems to be going well for them because they've collected a few points along
the
way.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
So that's good and I'm happy for them. At the same time, them being at Birmingham, again, there's a few really good girls there and a few of my good mates are there. I would like to see them because I know what they have to work with at Birmingham. Hmm. In terms of, you know, things weren't great when I was there, but we just, you know, got our heads down. We done what we had to do, we dug in, and then obviously you knew what happened with the stuff that was all in the press. I don't know how much better the stuff has got for the girls there, but I know that they've maybe not got the luxuries that Leicester have got. So I think for Birmingham to stay up would be incredible. And go back to that game, like, that's not fair. That wasn't the rules, you know.
Mm.
The goalie comes out. Is it a penalty? Look, it probably is a penalty. But how can it be a penalty and a red card? Because I'm sure that's not the rules anymore. Why was it not a yellow card? Why did they drop down to 10 men? Why did that happen?
Uh-huh.
It's bizarre.
Is the refereeing still an issue for you?
Yeah, it is, but I don't want to sit here and cane the refs because at the same time, we are now in a full-time league. It's our jobs, okay? It's our professions, but it's not the referees' professions. So the only way they're going to get better is if they get made to be full-time and they can do more training and they can learn to, you know, to ref in this league now. They don't get as much help as they should probably. But it's not fair to sit and say they're not good enough because, look, they need the help.
So Leicester or Birmingham? Who's staying up?
I think it's going to be, I'm going to say Leicester now.
Leicester are going to stay up, yeah. But you want it for Birmingham, of course. You don't want anyone to go down, especially.
No, I actually think I would like the teams to stay up and for the league to grow and expand. I would like that to happen because I don't actually think there's enough games for us all. I've seen an article, I didn't actually read it. That Tom Gary had posted about there's like a bottleneck system within the league right now because only one team sort of comes up, yeah. And then there's teams getting relegated from the other divisions, so it doesn't really make sense.
Okay.
But I think for the game to grow and for all the youth to get teams in play too, you've got to start bringing more teams up. I know there's people with the counter argument of, well, will that dilute the standard of the league? But if people are getting full time, it's getting better, and you've got good coaches and managers in that can, you know, manage teams and give them a good structure and a good base. I don't see why that should dilute the league.
Yeah, of course. I think it'll be really sad if Birmingham go down. It'll be sad for anyone who goes down. Of course, no one likes that. But Birmingham had such a presence in the Women's Super League for such a long time. Let's talk about Spurs. Spurs 4, Brighton 0. Brighton, in terms of consistency, a few weeks ago managed to hold off Chelsea to a draw, as they always do. Brighton always seem to trip up Chelsea. But anyway, that's another story. Rhian Skinner's got them drilled to the bone.
One thing that I'll say about them is they're very well drilled right now. Obviously, she's got them very organised. And there's some really good players in that team. There's a few players that I really like.
Who do you like?
I like Rachel Williams.
Rachel Williams nearly battered you the last time you played each other. I noticed that, by the way. I thought, oh my God, don't meet your idols, eh?
Handbags and all that. But yeah, I like her. She's a quality player. She's a handful, so she's solid and can score goals.
Yeah.
So I really like her. But I just think she's got them really organised. You know, she's got them playing the way she wants them to play. I'm sure she'd probably like it to be a bit better. You know, who's that other one in midfield? That Clemeron, she's a quality player. So is Rhea Percival.
Yeah.
Too. Like, they've got a good midfield. They'll get stuck in. They'll do the dirty work. But they can play too. They can play. So, yeah, I think that they'll be quite happy with how their season's going. But I'm sure they'll want to get a few more points on the board. But Brighton have got a good team. They've got, like, Hope. Again, she knows what she wants her teams to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened. Did their heads go down? That's all I can think is their heads have sort of went down, and you know the floodgates have opened. But
yeah, Because not too long ago, they were sitting second at the table. I'm sure it was going into Christmas. Of course, a couple of teams had a couple of games in hand. But they were playing good football. They were win-win-win for a stretch there. So it's almost a wee, again, another dip of form, a little bit of inconsistency. But we know what Brighton are capable of doing. A couple of wins
changes how you look in the league again. Mm-hmm. It's mental, but that's just the way this league is right now.
Everton, now the first ever team to have three managers in a season. You know, Jean-Luc Versini, mm-hmm. Cheryl Kolzek, he's gone now. He got the sack a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
So we've got them on Sunday.
How do we feel going into this fixture?
It's going to be tough. Because again, you look at their team, and on paper, they've got like a star-studded team, so it's going to be tough. Is it... Well, what's their mood like in camp? I don't know, but I imagine it's probably quite positive right now, because things, let's be honest, probably weren't going great with the previous manager, so surely they're going, okay, let's crack on now, we can, you know, get this sorted and get playing how we need to play. You know, things are starting to, you know, click for us, so we'll be looking forward to coming into the game.
Where is that?
It's away, it's up in Liverpool.
Right, okay, well that'll be a good one. Well, we can look forward to your reaction to that as well next week. Have to just keep it short and sweet for our first one.
Mm-hmm.
But a story that's been going around for the last couple of weeks is the FA Cup prize pot.
Right.
The women getting £25,000, the men's winning team get £1.8 million. I've found myself getting heated about this, and I actually don't feel that you and Katie get as passionate about it because you're not really fully across it. You're focused mm-hmm. on the football, you're there because you love football and you're glad that you've got teams and that you're doing what you love. But now you've had a couple of weeks to digest that, I just wonder if you've got any more thoughts as to that prize pot, £25,000. I mean, it's changing. Uh-huh. It's changing. The FA have admitted there's going to be a significant increase. But I want to know, as a women's footballer in the Women's Super League who might next season have the potential to win the FA Cup, what would you want that winning sum to be, or what should it be?
I don't understand how that was prize money, but it's good that, you know, people had sort of brought it to light, and it's, you know, it's going to change now. That's great. But like I said, like, players don't really see that unless it's in a contract, but clubs will help clubs. For us, you've got to keep in mind, so, okay, let's go back when I first played in the WSL, when was that, 10 years ago, whatever. We were on a pay-as-you-play,
mm-hmm.
so that's not really in your head. Things are changing now, okay, you know, it's our jobs, we get paid. I'm making an average salary, do you know what I mean? I'm just paying the bills, Cass, do you know what I mean? But then there's people, like, Arsenal players, they are... But there's other teams, like, you, what we say, the top four clubs, they're probably getting really looked after right now, and I love that. I think that's great that they, you know, they're getting paid for the job that they love. They're becoming role models, but they're making a bit of money out of it, and they can maybe invest and save, blah, blah, blah. That's great. I'm all for that. I've probably missed that boat, but that's sound. That's why I'm a wag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's probably why you don't think of that, but probably soon when my career's over, whenever that's going to be in the next couple of years, you might look and go, that is not acceptable, because mm-hmm. let's be honest, it's not acceptable. Obviously, I've been involved with the FAI in the...
The
equal salary. Before that, we hadn't been getting paid. So we had to sort of, you know, protest that, but was really passionate about that at the time because we were involved in it. We weren't getting paid for going away. Some people were like, if you were working, you were taking unpaid leave from your work and you weren't getting paid, and it was, you know, well, you're playing for your country, so just accept it. But at the same time, the men's players, who are all professional footballers on crazy salaries, were getting paid to play for the country.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's double standards. So I was very passionate about that at the time. But probably because I've never won the FA Cup, but I've never actually thought about the prize money, Cass.
Yeah.
That's probably what actually now comes down to.
I just think at the moment, this is it's the beauty of fan power, to be mm-hmm. fair. And there are probably going to be people listening to this podcast just now who were the fans that actually brought this to light, you know, pushed for these articles, made it trend. Got together and did podcasts and forums and started the FA Cup, you know, no ifs, no buts. We wanted the equal FA Cup chant for those mm-hmm. games that they were at over that FA Cup protest weekend.
Mm-hmm. Did you sing that to Simon Jordan when he absolutely rinsed you on air?
He didn't rinse it, right? He didn't rinse it. For me, I'm so over it. Because I'm not a footballer. I never will be a footballer. Mm-hmm. But my life, I've known you in football, right? And then I look at the change that's happened over the last 10 years, the change that's happened over the last year mm-hmm. with the WSL rights and you know, the eyes that's come on it, but it's only criticising eyes from people who don't care, who aren't invested in the women's game. At the end of the day, you're all human, and you're not there because you're a woman, and you're not there because you're a man. You're there because of the love of the same sport. And then the people who are organising this have decided that 25 grand is acceptable. I just think, come on, you know, start setting standards. And over the last week, it's been nothing but bad press and awful stories about men in football who have more money than sense, who don't know right from wrong, or choose not to know right from wrong because they're in this position that they're in. I don't know one female footballer like that, you know. And I'm not saying that this is anybody, I'm not saying it's the men in football's fault where they are, why they are, but I just think a shift is coming. And women need to be valued more in sport.
That's I think things are changing though. That's the beauty of it. It is changing. You know, you started to see a wee bit in social media about the FA Cup prize fund, and it was, I think it was addressed pretty quickly.
It was addressed. It was addressed within the week, but that came from the fan power.
Yeah, and it's great. It's great that the fans are doing that, and I think we all appreciate that. So big up to the fans. Congrats, congrats. But things are changing for the better. Maybe not as fast as you want, but if you look to 10 years ago, wow, the game is, you know, it's came on leaps and bounds, and it's only going to go like that. At the same time, what you're saying about, you know, some of the men, yeah, okay, they are getting ridiculous money, crazy money. Do they probably lose their way a bit? Yeah, probably. And I hope the women's game doesn't get to that scale. I'm sure maybe though in 10 or 15 years' time, it could be crazy money they're getting, but hopefully everyone, you know, there should probably be a cap on it eventually. I do think so. I think it'll just keep people grounded, and where they don't, you know, lose the values of life, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly what we've seen over the last few weeks is people just disrespectful, awful, bad decision-making, and bad vibes.
I'm going to say tonight, sorry, so obviously the West Ham men's game's on, and Kurtzum is playing after the stuff about the cat. And to me, that is worrying too, because that's obviously David Moyes, and West Ham saying, well, we want to play our best team. Kurtzuma's in that best starting 11. Where's the standards? Where's this? So what's more important? Life or football? And they've just went, well, football's more important.
We want
who
the
cares about
points.
This cat? Yeah. Don't care. And that, to me, that's just shocking. But that shows what clubs and, you know, it's all about now. The business is more important than...
I mean, I don't understand how his life is going to be normal after that. We've all seen the documentary Don't F with Cats. Yeah. There's more than just football fans invested in this. Yeah. You know, this is animal welfare.
Yeah.
This is a different beast.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know, was it his first time doing that? I don't know. It probably wasn't, let's be honest. But I hope the guy does learn from it and the poor cat's okay.
I hope the cat's out of there, that's for sure. Let's predict some upcoming fixtures this weekend. Okay. We're going to react to them next week as well. Chelsea, Arsenal, Friday night predictions, please, Rusha.
Right. Come on, you Gunners. Come on.
Going for a win?
I have a feeling it's going to be a draw, but I'm going to go for a... I feel like Chelsea will score, so I'll go for 2-1
Arsenal. 2-1
Arsenal. That's probably my heart, really, my head.
Sunday the 13th of February, Manchester City against Manchester United Women, a wee cheeky derby. This is going to be tough. But then when City get goals, they bang them in for fun.
2-each draw.
Birmingham City against Tottenham Hotspur. You don't know about Birmingham these days, beat Arsenal.
That's what I mean. If Birmingham go out and do that, they can give anyone a game. But I'm going to go with Tottenham's previous result. I think they've hit a bit of form again, so Spurs win.
Brighton Reading.
Ooh, again, with Brighton's dip in form and Reading winning 2-1 at the weekend, I'm going to go for a Reading win.
Leicester West Ham. I'm
going to go for a West Ham win.
Okay. Love it when you don't sit on the fence. Rusha, thank you for this. I hope you enjoyed this little conversation. I hope you get little elements of information and nuggets and hearing from our player in the WSL. Rusha, thank you very much.
What's my fee for this?